Well, top of the morning to you. It is St. Patrick's Day. We're glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open those up to Mark chapter 6. We're going to continue in our series called Just Jesus. And today we're going to see two stories. We're going to see where Jesus is rejected, and we're going to see where Jesus is sending out his 12 as missionaries. So today the title is The Mission of Jesus and Those Who Came Up Missing. So there's those that miss Jesus, and there are those that get on mission with Jesus. So if you have your paper, you can see up on the screen the statement, we will be on mission with him unless we miss on who he is. So your options when you meet Jesus is always to reject him or rejoin him in his mission. So of course today, we want to call ourselves to rejoin Jesus in his mission, and also make sure that we're not missing him in our life. So we're going to see these two contrasted. Jesus in Mark chapter 3 verse 35 talks about two different families. He had a biological family, and then he had a spiritual family. And many of us can identify with this. He was ultimately rejected by his blood family, but he was embraced by his family of God. We're going to see that in this text today. And today is St. Patrick's Day. And one thing we want to say about Patrick, we've been saying St. Patrick's Day should be about more than just green beer. Okay, Patrick was a missionary. He had a passion to go take the message of the gospel to another family, to a very unchristianized, completely unchristianized island called Ireland, or we call it Ireland now. Well, he wanted to go, and of course he missed his family, he left his family, and he went to Ireland. And so today I want to be sharing a few stories about Patrick. Really, that St. Patrick's Day is a day to celebrate missions, and even to get on mission with God. And to get on mission with God, you need to know his son Jesus. You need to join his family. In Mark chapter 3, verse 35, Jesus said that his mother, his brother, his spiritual family were the ones that do the will of God. So we're going to jump into this. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 6, and we're going to begin to walk through these verses. And first of all, we're going to see those missing Jesus. So the missing ones, they miss the kingdom, and they miss the king. And ultimately, this is a story included in the book of Mark so that we would not miss the kingdom, so that we would not miss the king. But he is easy to miss. Let's read verse 1. Jesus, he went away from there and came to his hometown. How many of you dread going to your hometown? I know I'm actually heading to my hometown in a couple weeks. I don't dread it, but I do know that when I go there, people say, "Ha, there's Austin, right? There he is. I know him. I changed his diapers when he was a kid, or I saw him do this. I remember that time he got in trouble." So Jesus has a similar experience. He's not celebrated in his hometown. He's actually rejected. So he went away from there and he came to his own hometown, and his disciples followed him. So we see these two people. We see this family that will not follow him, and we see this new spiritual family he has brought together, his disciples. They are following him. So on the Sabbath, verse 2, he began to teach in the synagogue. Remember, the synagogue is a place where lay people can take up the mic, so to speak, and teach a theological lesson or read the law. So he started teaching in the synagogue. He signed up, he's teaching, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Surely," they said, "Where did this man get these things?" So Jesus, we've been studying chapter by chapter the book of Mark. We see that Jesus is going somewhere important. This is where he was headed. He was interrupted. He did a couple of miracles, And so this is where he wanted to go. He wanted to go to his hometown. And the thought should be in verse 1, as you think about that, wow, he is going to be celebrated in his hometown. And this is where he is going to be really just thought of as the Messiah, the King, the Son of God. But the truth is, he'll be rejected here. There actually would not be a church in Nazareth, his hometown, for 300 years after this day. So it took a long time for the gospel to take root in the hometown of Jesus. Listen to what they say. They say, this is what they're saying with skepticism and sarcasm. Where did this man get these things? Talking about Jesus' teaching. What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hand? So they are not convinced that Jesus is special, that he's the Son of God, that he's the Messiah. They're mostly even reflecting like he doesn't have a rabbi that has mentored him in these things. Where is he getting this stuff? What authority is he coming? They continue in verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? So they knew his mama. And brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. So they know his sisters, they know his mama, they know his brothers, and they are not buying into it. They're offended at Jesus. So Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. So they're missing Jesus. His relatives are missing Jesus. His own siblings are not celebrating him. They're missing him. So a few days ago, my wife told me about an interesting thing that happened to her at the house. She was alone with our four kids. And our youngest kid is Barnabas. He's 17 months old. Very young, walking around. He dances. I'm going to put some stuff on Facebook. He's a good dancer. That's one of his main skills. Another skill is let me just tell you the story. So Meryl was helping the other kids, and all of a sudden she was missing the 15-month-old. She started frantically running through the house, screaming his name. Where is he? She ran outside screaming his name. And poor guy, he doesn't really even know his name. But she comes back in, and then finally the little guy comes out from the coat rack. He is hiding in the coats. So he likes to dance, and he likes to hide in coats. And I just share that story because, as Meryl tells the story, You figure out that she actually went right by Barnabas about 7 times, but he was hidden under some coat. So he was right there. And how is it that we could possibly miss Jesus, even though he is right there in front of us? Look at what verse 5 said. They didn't have faith. And he said he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. By the way, this is one of 2 times in all the gospel where Jesus is marveling at the people. He is amazed. He's amazed. The other time is in Luke chapter 7. It says he marveled at a Roman centurion's faith. In verse 9 of chapter 7 of Luke, basically there was a Roman soldier that came up to Jesus. He had a really sick servant, and he basically displayed his faith to Jesus by saying, hey, you don't even have to go see this guy. Would you just say the word, and he would be healed? And Jesus, it says, was amazed. Only time in Scripture that he is amazed by someone's faith. And the only other time that he is amazed, I mean, Jesus created everything. It is hard to amaze Jesus, but he is amazed at the unbelief in this situation. So let's ask this question. Why did they miss Jesus? Why did they miss Jesus? Let me give you 4 reasons here. I think they're up on the screen. The first one is this. To the people of Nazareth, Jesus became too ordinary to them. They were familiar with Jesus, but they didn't really know Jesus. Now, this is interesting is to think about. How can you miss Jesus and be so familiar with Jesus, hear so much about Jesus? There can be so much religion around you about Jesus, but you don't actually know the person Jesus. So I'm a third generation Christian. That's to say, my grandfather accepted the gospel, repented of his sin, and became a Christian. So did his wife, my grandmother. And then my father became a Christian. My mother became a Christian. And then they raised me and always had me around Jesus. Jesus is very familiar to me. There's probably no other name I've heard more than the name of Jesus. I've probably heard Jesus named more times than I've heard myself named. But what is it that is not just being familiar with Jesus, but it's actually knowing Jesus? So my kids, they will be fourth generation Christians. They will hear a lot about Jesus. They heard about Jesus coming out the womb. They heard prayers to Jesus in the delivery room. And they will continue to hear the name of Jesus until they leave our home. And one encouragement that I got as we think about Patrick, missionary Patrick, he had a similar situation. He was a third or fourth generation Christian. He had a lot of people that really loved the Lord Jesus. He was raised. It is missionary Patrick's day. So he wasn't really fazed by his religious surroundings. But when he was 16 years old, Patrick was kidnapped by Irish pirates. And he was forced into slavery. And for 6 years, he was enslaved as a shepherd. And it said that he began to grow really warm and even hot about knowing Jesus, about knowing God. And he began to pray. He began to remember the doctrine that he was taught in his young age. And he was brought close to God, even to the point where God spoke to him and miraculously helped him escape his captivity, just directed him to go to a boat of merchants so that he could escape off of Ireland. So he was originally from France, but Irish pirates stole him and put him into slavery. And so the truth is, we can be too familiar with Jesus, and sometimes maybe it will be a crisis in our life. It will help us to really experience true intimacy with knowing Jesus. But the truth is, Jesus is right there for us to find. He is available. We just have to connect with him in true faith. So, a few reasons. Why did they miss Jesus? Why would we miss Jesus? Maybe because he becomes too ordinary to us. Maybe another thing that we assume, that they assume they were too ordinary to be used and blessed by God. They assumed that they were forgotten. They were a nowhere place. And they were nobodies. How could God really appear in their midst and bless them in a powerful way? And family, we need to get over this unbelief as well and realize that Jesus comes to ordinary people just like me and you. He comes to places just like Baltimore, just like Dundalk, just like Essex, just like this place where we sit right now. He comes to ordinary people who feel forgotten. He comes to make himself known. But we can miss him. Maybe because we become too familiar. Maybe because we think we're too ordinary or forgotten. And this third reason I see, they underestimated the incredibleness of God. So God was more extraordinary than they thought. So Jesus became too ordinary, they thought they were too ordinary, and they didn't realize how extraordinary God was. So what I mean by this is, as you read the story, you see that they say, oh, this is just the carpenter, this is just Jesus. They can't conceive, they can't believe have trouble believing in the incredible thought that God of God, in all his power and glory, would reside in a person that lived down the street from them and change the world with a little boy they grew up with named Jesus. Some commentators say that God was too incarnated as a person. He became too ordinary, which is extraordinary. That God, in all his glory and grandeur, became ordinary. So there's some dangerous words that we can use to push Jesus away. It's like this: I just believe it. Like, it's just true. I just think that's the way that it is. So I read a story about Aristotle. He taught that any two objects, no matter how much he taught that if two objects are dropped, the heavier one will always fall faster, and the lighter one will not fall as fast as the heavy ones, which physically is incorrect. But for all of Aristotle's life, he just said it. He never even tested it. He just said that it was true, and everyone believed it. And after he died, another physicist named Galileo went to the top of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and he dropped a 10-pound object and a 1-pound object off of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and he discovered something. They fall at the same rate. And that's what's true. So there's some silly stuff you believe. Maybe the things like, Jesus is just a good guy. Jesus is just a prophet that lived somewhere at some point. You just believe that Jesus is not there for you. Maybe you just believe, hey, God is not out there. God is not for me. Well, Jesus comes and he shows us that that's some silly stuff. And he's got a new thing for you to believe. And the fourth thing I think that they didn't really want is to catch his burden. They certainly just didn't do it. They did not catch his burden to save people. His family, Jesus talks about, his brothers, his sisters, and we know elsewhere this is true. His family did not believe Jesus. They did not accept his burden. Jesus didn't have the accolades. He didn't have the respect in his own town to even be considered a prophet. Patrick was like this too. When he was rescued from Ireland and he came back to live with his family, he decided, he had dreams saying that he needed to go back to Ireland and preach Jesus to the people so that they could become Christ followers just like him. And so he headed back to Ireland, and he didn't really have support. Not really sure that his parents or his family supported him. And we're not really even sure that the church sent him. See, the unique thing about Patrick and church history, by the way, this Patrick's story happened about 400 years after Jesus in Europe. So Patrick lived in what's modern-day France, and Ireland had not one Christian living in it. The most religious, spiritual thing that the people of Ireland did was things like sacrifice their children to their tribal gods. They were Druids. They were all the scary stuff in Halloween. They worshipped all that stuff. And Patrick said, I want to go. And the church may have not even supported him. The church was pretty much like, let's just wait till the Roman Empire takes over and we'll force them to convert to Christianity. But Patrick, he shared the burden of Christ. And he wanted to go and preach the gospel to the people of Ireland. And he did it. Well, the people of Nazareth didn't do it. Jesus was too ordinary to them. They considered themselves to be too ordinary, forgotten. They didn't see how extraordinary God was in his incarnation. And they did not catch the kingdom burden of Jesus. So there's a great lesson here about faith. There's a great lesson here about the power of God as it relates to faith. So up on the screen, I put this statement. So the statement says, it asks this question, did their lack of faith limit the power of God? Did their lack of faith limit the power of God? I want you to think about this question. Just meditate. What do you think your answer is? Don't say it out loud. Just think. So Jesus said, I'm not able to do any great work here. So did their lack of faith limit the power of God? You know, my answer to this question has to be no. Let me say this. God is going somewhere, and he's going to get there if you get on the train or not. You with me? See, you can assume he's ordinary. You can assume you're ordinary and forgotten. You can downplay his extraordinary nature. You can forget the burden of Jesus, but God's mission will continue. He will, by his power, do all of his holy will. But let me put this up on the screen. It says this. I'm going to add some words to this. Is a lack of faith in Jesus going to limit what God, by his power, can do in your life? Well, I think the answer to this is yes, absolutely. If you don't have faith in Jesus, let me tell you something. The enemy doesn't care if you have faith in yourself. Doesn't care. He would love for you to have faith in yourself. Because there's no power when you have faith in yourself. There's a fake power. Jesus doesn't want you to have faith in faith. You can't muster up enough faith to have any real power. But what the Bible teaches is that we need to have faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I think this statement is true. When you don't have faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you will not see his power displayed in your life. So you think about those statements and seek to know the true and living Jesus so you can have true and living faith. So there are those that miss Jesus, and there are those that get on mission with Jesus. So one family, this hometown, this biological family, they miss Jesus. But these other guys that he brings together, they mission. They get on mission with Jesus. They embrace the mission of the kingdom, and so should you. Don't miss Jesus, but get on mission with Jesus. So as we've been studying through the book of Mark, we've seen these two big waves of ministry that Jesus did in around the sea in the in this area. So the first was kind of around Peter's house, and the rest is kind of into the further regions of Galilee around the sea. And now is kind of the third wave as the book unfolds. And in this third wave, what Jesus is going to do is actually empower his spiritual family to do the work that he's supposed to do. So there's this great concept in the New Testament called the body of Christ. It teaches that God is the head, that Jesus is the head of the body, and that we are his body here on earth doing, we are the flesh and blood of Jesus doing his work. So even before Jesus went on the cross, he sends out these people, his body, to do his work. And verse 7 is a very important thing. It says, and he called. So Jesus calls. He's collected you, and he's called you to be his kingdom, to be his mission. So he called the 12, and he began to send them out two by two. Early on in the Bible, we learn that it is not good to be alone. God has given us a body. He's given us people. He's given us a spiritual family to go out and do our life together, do his mission together. So he called the 12, and he sent them out two by two, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, just a stick, kind of like Moses. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, no wallet, nothing. Verse 9 says this, wear sandals, But don't put on two tunics, so you can't even take an extra coat if it gets cold. This is what he said in verse 10. When you enter a house, this is your strategy. When you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. I like that. So what he's saying is, if people show you hospitality, go in there, teach them the gospel. Tell them what God's been doing. But if any place will not receive you, verse 11, if they won't listen to you, leave. When you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them. And this is weird. Like, you know, this doesn't make any sense to us. Okay, make sure they see you shaking dust off your feet. What does that mean? Well, let me give you. So there's a few parallels that Jesus is doing here that connects him to the greatest miracle of the Old Testament, which is when 3 million Hebrew slaves were delivered miraculously from slavery in Egypt. They were under the oppression of the greatest world power of that time, the Egyptian Pharaoh, the nation of Egypt. They were enslaved. They had been building the pyramids. But God raises up a man named Moses who was very simple. He lacked all these powerful clothes. He had a stick. And he goes before Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go." And then Pharaoh didn't. And then God sent 10 curses on him, 10 plagues. The last one was that the firstborn child, all Egyptians who were firstborn men, were killed by the angel of death. God showed his wrath on Egypt, and then they were allowed to go. So Moses went to his 3 million Jewish slaves, and he said, "We are free. Don't worry about extra coats. Don't worry about getting all your belongings. Grab some flat bread. We are free. We gotta go." And then he parted the Red Sea, and they were saved. And so one thing in view here, they were saved, and ultimately they were sent. That God led them to the promised land, a section of land that is present day Israel. God led them to this land and gave it to them. Now this mission trash talking. Jesus is saying, shake the dust off of your feet as a testimony against them. So one practice the Jews did, because they so loved the salvation from slavery, and this was a big part of their history, when Jews traveled to foreign lands before they got back to the promised land, back to Israel, they were supposed to shake the sand off of their shoes as not to defile the promised land sand. So Jesus here, he has people trash-talking folks that are rejecting him, shaking the sand out of their sandals, basically implying you are missing the promises of God. You are missing. And everybody would have got this when they did this, that they were missing the promise of God because they were missing Jesus. And Jesus tells them, just keep on moving. So look at what happens in verse 12. They go out, and verse 12 says this, so they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. One of the major themes through Mark, repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So some were missing Jesus, even as these guys are missioning with Jesus. But why did the 12, why did they mission with Jesus? We'll have a few things written on your paper. Let's run through them. First of all, they joined Jesus in his burden. So those who miss him wouldn't, but they joined Jesus in his burden. And this is key, even though they did not understand everything. So if you met these 12 guys and they came to your door, I'm going to tell you something. You would not hire them to be your pastor. Some of these guys were scoundrels. Most of them were racist. They were traitors. Remember, Judas is part of this crew, and he ultimately would sell Jesus out for a bag of coins so that he would be killed. There's Peter there who would deny Jesus at one of the pivotal moments of the church. He would be a failure. But Jesus sends them anyway, even though they didn't understand everything. Let me tell you one of the greatest statements of unbelief that we ever hear or that we ever say is, "I'm not ready." Whenever you tell God, I'm not ready, here's what he'll say. That's the point. You're never ready. You need me. You are never really prepared. I'm prepared, though, God says, right? Get out there, have my burden, go, even though you may not know it all. Right? So you're driven by the mission of Jesus. Let me give you an illustration. If my kid wanders into the road and a car is about to hit him, would you please just go get him out of the road? Right? Like, don't say some foolish thing like, man, I am not prepared to get people out of the road. I haven't had training to get little kids out of the road. I don't know how his parents will feel if I grab him and pull him out of the road. Just go get him out of the road. I haven't been to college to get him out of the road. Just get him out of the road. I haven't prayed enough to get him. Get him out of the road. There's this incredible urgency when you have the burden of Jesus. Let me tell you another thing. They were depending on the power of Jesus, and they had a deep trust of his authority. They understood that they were called by him to do it, and nothing could stop them. So they were depending on his power. They were to take nothing. They were to be totally dependent on Jesus. No wallet, no belt, no bread, no extra coat, just sandals, right? Just sandals, just like the Exodus. Jesus is more important. There's more urgency. There's a greater work of salvation being done. Drop it all and follow Jesus. They had experienced the power of Jesus. Let me tell you a quick thing about Patrick in his life. Patrick experienced the power of Jesus. He was rescued literally out of slavery. He was rescued in salvation as well. He talks about his testimony. He didn't have it all right either. In fact, I probably would disagree with a lot of the theology that Patrick had. But he was burdened to go find these people and to share with them the gospel of Jesus. And he went and did it. It was said about Patrick that his sharing the gospel was so powerful that people would just be converted and become Christians just as they heard him share the gospel. There was actually one story of a guy who did not want to become a Christian, but he heard Patrick was coming, so he actually set his house on fire and killed, and he died, and his house burned down. There's a lot of lore surrounding Patrick and legend and stuff, but the clear thing is he knew the power of Jesus, and he'd experienced it. Let me tell you, when you're on mission with Jesus, you'll join Jesus in his burden, even though you may not know it all. You will depend on the power of Jesus and have a deep trust in his authority. And you also will not put a ceiling on what God could do through you. They didn't put a ceiling on what God could do through them. They started doing what Jesus did. They just went and did what Jesus did. So there's sick people. Well, they've seen Jesus handle that. Right? There are demons, that's not a problem. There's critics, there's no worries. They also had spiritual discernment about where they were to stay, right? They knew when they should keep moving because they had a work to do. And their role was to even bring a little bit of judgment and correction and reproof as they shook the dust off of their sandals. So today I want to encourage you, don't miss Jesus. And don't miss the mission of Jesus. So it's St. Patrick's Day. It's about more than green beer. Ultimately, Patrick went to Ireland as a missionary, and thousands of people became Christians because of the ministry of Jesus in Patrick. So Patrick, though, was just a man. I don't think we should pray to him. I don't think he really even makes you lucky. He was not Jesus, but he was a man who trusted Jesus. He didn't miss Jesus, and he didn't miss the mission of Jesus, and he saw the immense power of Jesus in his life. Now I want to put that to you today. Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss the mission of Jesus. Don't miss the immense power of Jesus and what he can do in your life. So here's the last question. I want to leave it with you? Are you missing it? Or are you missioning it? Are you missing Jesus? Or are you on mission with Jesus? Are you missing it? Or are you missioning it?